America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is KJ and Lyons. KJ Carson and John Lyons right now on WEEI.
KJ and Lyons, WEEI. Boy, that's more than a limelight on Jim Montgomery. That's a spotlight. John, what's going on with the Bruins is, look, the last two seasons, we really haven't had to have any type of conversation about the Bruins until the end of the season. Now what's going on, especially after last night, and even go back to the Toronto game where they win it in overtime, it's because it was a mistake that Toronto made. Like, when was the last really good thing that the Bruins have done that you've seen on the ice?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that the problem has been, Scott McLaughlin who came on Hart and Fitzy earlier? He was talking about this where they've done, like, the Colorado win was a good win, and then the Toronto win was a good win, and then in between those two and then after two, they haven't been able to build on anything. And this is a team, and here's something for you. Bruins Network just posted this on Twitter a little while ago. Marchand, Lindholm, McAvoy, Zaka, Frederick, Patra, Coyle, and Geeky, those guys have combined, KJ, combined for 27 points through 11 games this year. Like, you're getting no production out of your really good players outside Pastrnak.
So who put those guys on the team?
Well, Marchand was previous, but yeah, essentially been outside. Sweeney for all those others.
Right, for the most part, it's been Sweeney, right? And so in that comment you just heard from Jim Montgomery, he was talking about the past already. Almost like you can feel the standing hairs on your neck because people are calling for him to be gone. Some people are surprised that he's still here this morning. Now, Zach, we'll get to you in a second because I know this is chapping your hide right now, is if you get rid of Montgomery now, does that not buy Cam and Sweeney virtually an entire season of anything can happen and it can be anything bad, still with the guys of, well, you know, we changed coach season and it was an adjustment and so forth and everything, versus letting Montgomery ride it all the way out and see what happens, and then they make your decision. Because if you let it ride all the way out, then everybody gets looked at. If you get rid of them now, then Cam and Don are going to be like, had to change some things up. It's one more
now. Yeah, it's 100%. It's the same thing that happened with Cassidy. Right? Like, you fire the coach because Jake DeBrusk thinks he's mean and Krejci doesn't want to play for him. So that gives everybody else an excuse and it covers everything else. And then what happens? You have this great regular season, best all time, and lose in the first round.
Butch goes, like, and pulls off a Tom
and he wins
Brady.
A cup. He wins a cup in Vegas.
So
that
clearly,
been your cup.
So clearly
he
it's
won
the coach's
your cup.
Reason. Right, exactly.
Your
so,
cup.
So again, this comes back to Cam and Don Sweeney, right? It's almost kind of like, at what point do you hold the mirror up to yourself about this situation?
Can I also add to that, too? What about the players themselves? Because you can, and look, and I'm not disagreeing with blaming Cam and Don as well, and Montgomery deserves blame, too. But, I mean, we're talking about a group of players that is highly paid, has played well in the past, and all of a sudden they're just collectively failing in the playoffs and not playing well to start this season. Like, at some point, like Jeremy Swayman held out, bitched about his contract and arbitration last year and all this. He got paid a lot of money. He got paid like a top five goalie. Is he playing like a top five goalie?
You like that goal average of 4.25?
Is he playing like a top five goalie? Like, not a, I mean, McAvoy gets paid like a top
five
defenseman.
It's almost the top five, like as in five goals against. It's almost the top five.
Like, all these guys, like, they're getting, Charlie Coyle is the highest paid third line center in the NHL. Is he playing like that? Has he played like that in months? Like, no. Like, so, at some point. And I'm not disagreeing with you completely on the
Sweeney. You're answering your own question.
But you gotta look at the players. And some of these guys, I don't even blame Sweeney for some of these. Some of them I do, but some of them, they're just, they got to play better. Like, it's cliche and it sounds stupid, but like, look in the mirror. Like, that list I just read, those guys have 27 points combined. Like, come on.
Look, I worked at a bakery one time in college, but I knew the person who was the part of the ownership and they were like the general manager, right? So when the shift manager had something to say to me or wanted to emphasize something, I mean, are you really listening? See, these players have the ears and the hearts and the minds. And of course, these are also the guys that have signed the dotted line to give these guys their money. It's almost kind of like these players seem to have this better relationship probably with Dom and Cam. And knowing that, hey, Jim is just, he's the shift manager, right? And if you know the shift manager doesn't have any say ultimately more than the big guy does, are you really going to go out? So you can be a great player. You can get your money and not perform and still know that there's going to be room. Because, again, like you said, if Cassidy could be let go because of people's feelings, you don't think Jim Montgomery can see the door
this
quicker?
This has been their MO. Like Claude Julien, right, won a cup, went to another one. Then they got the President's Trophy in 2014. They lost in the second round, a bad upset from the Canadiens. Missed the playoffs the next 2 years. They fired Julien, didn't really change it.
During the parade.
Yeah, they fired Julien. And really, the only thing they did to the core is they traded Lucic. Everything else they kind of kept around. Then Cassidy comes in. They go to Game 7 of another cup final. But he's too mean, I guess. So they fire him. Don't change the core at all. Then they lose in the playoffs again. Lose in the playoffs again after that. And now they might fire Montgomery. Like, this is three coaches, and we're talking about the same problem.
So again, this is what I'm saying. Is if you get rid of Montgomery now, does that not buy cover for Don and Cam?
Oh, it 100% does. And look, I will say in Don's defense, the roster that Montgomery had a couple years ago when they won all those regular season games was the best roster in the NHL, and I can't blame Sweeney for them not winning in the first round. He went all in at that deadline. That team was loaded. But right now, this is a much different team than what Jim Montgomery was hired to coach a couple years ago, and maybe he's not adapting well to it, or maybe they built a team that doesn't quite fit together. And the sad part is, KJ, they've played so bad, it's tough to tell. Like, it's not like part of the team's playing well, or they've had multiple good nights, but then they've gone, you know, bad and been unmotivated. Like, it's tough to really tell which it is. Maybe it's both. I don't know. But it's just, I'm at the point as a Bruins fan where, okay, you're going to fire your third coach in the last 15 years,
right. But
you keep re-signing all your guys who, again, they're good players but are underperforming.
Well, your second coach in 3 years.
Sure, yeah, that's another way to put it too. Right. So, like, at what point are you going to look at these players and say, we need more out of these guys that we're paying all this? I mean, look at the salaries for McAvoy, Carlo. I mentioned Swayman already. Like, these are Coyle, highly paid guys and highly paid for their roles, and they're not playing well collectively.
Well, here's the other side of the Swayman situation, I would ask. Do you feel like the Bruins could have gotten this result if Swayman was still holding out right now?
I don't think it would be much different.
That's what's crazy, right? Because remember, some people were like, maybe December, Sweeney could hold this thing out until December. But then once he signed, you were like, oh my God, after the first game with Corposalo, you were like, man, get that guy out of there.
That was tough.
That was hard.
But so then even the other night, Corposalo gives up, what, one goal against the Flyers, and the Bruins got shut out, and they lost 2-0?
Like, see, now you've kind of got an interesting situation going on there where you're kind of like, okay, when does Swayman start to kind of catch up to where his pay is? And at the same time, like last night was just, remember when we started the season, I know we'll get to break here in a second. Remember I talked about how this team has been bullied and they had to find someone to bully themselves. And you remember I said, maybe Carolina is the team that if you bully them, you can do something. And what happened last night?
Oh, they're not.
They had their lunch money taken, their draws taken, their girl taken, their books taken, everything taken last night.
And this is where I think you could maybe question Sweeney in that we've talked about this before, KJ, but the Bruins for decades had this identity as the big bad Bruins, right?
Right.
But they went 39 years as big and bad and they didn't win a cup. So then they win a cup in 2011, and sure, they had Chara and McQuaid and Seidenberg and Thornton. Those were tough guys, but they also had Krejci and Bergeron and Marchand and Ryder, like highly skilled guys. They had a great mix. That group went to two cups in 3 years and won one. Then they went too far in the skill direction, and they got bullied by the Blues in the cup final, bullied by the Panthers a couple years ago. So now it feels like Sweeney has overcorrected, and he's gone too much back to the big bad Bruins with Zadorov and some of these guys, and now they're too slow. And it's like, does Sweeney have the ability to find the right balance? And that's what concerns me.
KJ and Lyons on WEEI, 617-779-7937, text line 37937. Still to come, 30 minutes away from Just a Jag, plus Celtics are in action in Charlotte. We'll talk about, oh my gosh, Jaylen Brown just almost yoked it on the entire team. Well their main guy. I don't mean to do that. I'm not supposed to do that. Like Castellanos hit a home run. Look, we'll talk Celtics, what happened the other night. They could be primed. The Celtics could be primed for like a weird weekend in Charlotte. We'll discuss that next. Right now it's time to trend with Zach Coe.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Patriots had their final practice of the week ahead of Sunday's matchup in Nashville against the Titans. Quarterback Drake May was listed as questionable with a concussion. Also listed as questionable were tackle Viridian Lowe, safety Kyle Duggar, and guard Laden Robinson. While wide receiver Jalen Polk has cleared concussion protocol and was upgraded to a full participant. Pats take on the Titans Sunday afternoon, kickoff set for 1 p.m. Celtics in Charlotte taking on the Hornets tonight, looking to bounce back after Wednesday's overtime loss to the Pacers. Al Horford is out tonight. Just underway in Charlotte right now. They're all knotted up at 12. Another rough one last night for the Bruins. They fell to the Hurricanes 8-2 in Carolina. Brad Marchand and Hampus Lindholm, the lone goal scorers for the Bees. They'll look to rebound tomorrow in Philadelphia when they take on the Flyers. Puck drop set for 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More KJ and Lyons coming up after this.
This is not a real election ad.
KJ and Lyons bring forth a new nation in sports talk entertainment, a show that believes in appealing to the super smart down to the guy who still acts like a 10th grader.
I'm letting you know that I'm a damn werewolf.
The show that can tie everyday life and Boston sports like no other.
It's high-end stuff, KJ.
This election season, vote KJ and Lyons, a show for the people, by the people.
Yes, KJ and Lyons can.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
And KJ and Lyons are doing a heck of a job. And yes, KJ and Lyons are bigly on sports. Read my lips. KJ and Lyons are the bee's knees.
Because it is you that KJ and Lyons work for.
I could care less about some kid in college right now.
You better care about him, KJ.
No, here's the thing.
Vote KJ and Lyons. A show for you, the people.
I'm KJ and I overdraft my account to pay for this ad.
This is not a real election ad.
KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
KJ and Lyons, WEEI, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Celtics on the road against Charlotte for a back-to-back tonight and tomorrow. We'll get to that shortly. Let's go to Paulie and Dedham. We've been talking Bruins. Paulie, thanks so much for calling KJ and Lyons. You're on the air.
Hey, the pleasure's all mine, lads. Talking about the Bruins, they're mentally beat down right now, and they're getting old. Florida, they're losing that first playoff series 2 years ago, a series that they should have won. They were up 3-1, and geez, Montour scored that goal at the end of the third period, sent it into overtime. Like, oh no, I thought they were going to survive that and get on to the next round, but it didn't happen. Then they get a serious beatdown by Florida last year in the playoffs, and then two coming out of the gate, two, one on the road and one at home. And they were minus two of their top players in that second loss. They're stripped of their confidence right now. They're demoralized right now by this Florida team. And again, they're getting old. Marchand is long in the tooth. I saw this last year. I thought to myself last year, he's got next year and maybe the year after that, he'll be retired by no later than next year. Coyle's getting old. You need some more bodies up front. They don't have enough firepower up front to handle the iron of the National Hockey League. They didn't have it last year, and they still don't have it this year. That's what they need as they try to get their confidence back.
Paulie, thanks so much for the call. Yeah, I guess the other side of that, John, though, is all the other players got the money they want, right? So when the players are getting the money they want, why should you be mentally beat?
And the Bruins, just for the record, actually the seventh youngest team by average age in the NHL. So I know Marchand's getting older. Paulie's right about Marchand. He doesn't look quite the same. But there's still a lot of young guys on this team.
Well, the numbers were thrown off when Krejci came back and stuff like that. Yeah. You know, when Krejci came back. And so the numbers jumped back up in terms of age. But those guys are gone.
Right. Like, so this is a team that has a bunch of guys that should be in their athletic prime. And they look slow. And Paulie's right, though, about Florida. I think the worst thing to happen to the Bruins this year is that they played Florida on opening night, because
they spent
all offseason working like, hey, we're building a team that's going to be tougher. We're going to be able to match up with Florida. And what happens? They get smoked on opening night, completely outclassed. Then a few days later, it happens again on Columbus Day afternoon. I mean, I think that just threw a wrench into everything they were trying to do this year.
Well, then hats off to the NHL recognizing the great storyline, right? Because this goes back to the Bruins being the top seed, being considered almost one of the greatest point totals in the history of the game for the regular season, and then lose in the opening round to this young Panthers team that would eventually, they'd go to the Stanley Cup, they would lose, but then they would go the next year and finally win it. So you're one of those situations where it's kind of like, oh, wow, this was supposed to be a coronation for the Bruins, and now suddenly the Bruins must feel like paupers waiting for the czar to come to town in these shanty towns, hoping that they will be blessed by, you know, Nicholas the Czar. Like, Paulie's right, and this is what we talked about. These guys have been mentally bullied, and I don't know how they come out of it. And, like, the coach, getting rid of the coach is going to be the answer when you guys are the ones on the ice not performing.
Yeah, and that's like we were talking about before the break. It feels like they're trying to go too far in that big and bad direction, but that doesn't work if the other team outbigs and outbads you. And that's what happened with Florida so far this year, and that is a big problem. And I feel like that has bled over into the rest of their season.
Yeah, all right. So let's get to the Celtics in that game the other night in Indiana. I was on the air as the game was occurring, and Zach will probably tell you, like, I was not very professional. I was like, oh, my God. Did you just, like, I can't believe that just happened. So what was kind of, like, wild was Indiana raises a banner stating that they beat the Celtics. Did you see this, John?
Yeah, I saw it on Twitter.
Oh, my gosh.
I had to check quickly as I was like, is this like some fake disinformation
video?
Thing?
That's the same thing.
Remember the Colts AFC finalist band? Like, come on.
Right.
Oh, like, so when the 76ers shoot confetti when they win a second round game.
The,
like,
Bills putting up the AFC East champions banner, yeah, you know, like, when they were doing that. I probably do it again. So, but I did say – about this Celtics team, and they did get around to it in later in that game, was you have to know that when you're the champions, you're everybody's playoff game when you come to their house. And the first check of that, I said, was going to be Indiana. I said, I don't care if Indiana was 1-3 going into that game. They may be all focused on that particular game. And I said, if the Celtics had won that game, they would have made a very bold statement to remind them that you are not the Boston Celtics. And, yeah, and they've given them hope, and that's good, and that could potentially be dangerous. You've seen those movies where you're like, hey, you don't let the young kid go. You kill the parent and the kid because the kid can come back and get you. You feel like that with Indiana a little bit.
Yeah, and it felt like Indiana treated this not like a regular season game, but like game five of the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yes.
Continued. Like, they were out after it. And I give the Celtics a lot of credit for their comeback in that game. There's a lot of championship-level teams that on a Wednesday night in October would have gotten down by 24 and said, okay, yeah, that's it. We'll see you Friday night in Charlotte. They battled back. I think they probably should have won this game. They missed six free throws in this game, a bunch of layups. They only shot 33% from three. And it's one thing, like, there's going to be nights where they only shoot 33% from three, but when you're missing layups and free throws on top of that, that was what really was the killer. Like, if they just made their layups or made all their free throws, they win that game. So I look at it as, like, I tip my hat to Indiana because they came out hard and they played a great game, but I still don't look at it like, oh, Indiana showed me they can beat the Celtics four times out of seven. Like, no, they showed me they can take it to six games and it can be hard fought, just like that sweep was last year, but it still didn't quite show me, oh, they can beat Boston four times out of seven come May.
Well, I think the other part of it, it eliminates the conversation of like, well, Cleveland is undefeated still.
Well, Cleveland's undefeated still.
Right, but my thing about the Celtics is this, is you have to believe that nobody should be on the court with you with the roster that you have. Like, the idea is the Celtics should be trying to drub guys and drub these teams so well that Pritchard and Cornett and Hauser, these guys can get minutes into the high teens. Obviously, Pritchard is going to, because right now he's the sixth man off the bench. But these guys should be, Tillman should be getting numbers in the high teens. These are games where you should be trying to figure out, okay, how does Jordan Walsh better contribute to this team in these situations? Get those stars off the court, allow them to get rest, relaxation. Now you're in a situation where you're down in Charlotte. Yeah, you're up ahead now by about 10. I would hate to see the Celtics be put into another game where it's like, gosh, you really got to compete to win this game. And maybe Joe Mazzulla's gotten that message across to them. Because how are you, if you're the Hornets, you're like, hey, the Celtics are coming off of a loss coming to town. Now people are going to be, they're gonna be revved up. Team's going to play you extra hard. They may foul you a little extra harder. You got to come out and drub them right away. So when tomorrow comes, even the people of Charlotte, like, you know, like Jason Tatum saying, well, people, I go to Charlotte only twice a year and he's there this one weekend. So ladies, you know, get your bag of chips and hopefully and pray that Jason Tatum smiles at you because he's not coming back to town. But you want to get it to a point where that tomorrow's game, that, like, the locals really have no interest in coming to see it because their home team got blown out last night.
And it's a weird back-to-back where tonight's game's at 7 and tomorrow night's game's at 6. So
right,
it's two games in less than 24 hours. And it's funny, coming into this week, like when you and I did the show Tuesday night, I was thinking they'd beat Indiana and their first loss of the year could come in one of these Charlotte games, right? Like, they'd win one by 30 and the other one kind of take their foot off the gas because it's less than 24 hours apart and lose. But because they lost to Indiana, I could see them kind of like what you're talking about, what Mizzou, like with Missoula, is they come out and they try to win both games by 30 and they go all out to send a message like, okay, you know, we missed some layups against Indiana and lost, but we're still the Celtics and nobody should be on the court with us.
Yeah, it does take away the attention, I think, that I think a lot of us in the fan base had built up, like, man, wouldn't it be great if this team is undefeated getting into the game next week against Golden State at home? Like, this is how you get bumped up into the, you know, like, this is where the conversation becomes something bigger. And it's like, I've been building up all this aggression just for you, Steve Kerr, says Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. So it kind of takes a little bit of that luster off of it. But again, I think, and maybe they're learning this now, better to learn this now for the Celtics than to learn it later, is every away game for you, no matter how good or bad the team is, you're the team they're testing. You're now the team that they want to figure out how to build their roster to beat you. And so when you see in that Indiana game, they were like, hey, they're telling themselves, we could beat the Celtics. And like you said, you put them in a seven-game series. We haven't seen that yet. But they now believe that that's something that can really happen. And I don't think Indiana's on that level. I think they're better to be a pebble in the shoe to the Celtics. And then if you see, like, here's a great example. Look what they did to Milwaukee and look what Milwaukee's been since. Since they've lost to Milwaukee, what have you had heard more about? Giannis potentially being moved in season. Remember we talked about this? Giannis could potentially be moved in season. What's going on with the team? Dame Lillard, I think, only had like 7 points in the last game. It feels like Milwaukee's already kind of laying it down. Why? Because when they put up themselves against the Celtics on the road, they could not compete. And that and when you're the Celtics, you can do that. You can make it where teams like Milwaukee are now making decisions about how they move forward just because the way you drub them and they realize we don't have the roster. I think the Knicks will go through it as well, too. Remember we talked about the way the Knicks lost that game the opening night? Yeah, you're not big enough. You're not tall enough to be on this ride. So even the Knicks still have to figure some things out because of what the Celtics did to them. It's like the Celtics need to come in and steal everybody's girlfriend when they come to town. That's what the Bulls used to do. That's what Golden State used to do. This is what the Celtics need to start doing. And maybe tonight is the start of that. Like you said, win by 30 tonight, win by 28 tomorrow night. Then, okay, I would be a little bit easier about it.
Yeah, and I'm not guaranteeing they're going to do that, but it feels like they're headed in that direction just because, again, they lost to Indiana Wednesday. Because this is a Celtics team. Last year, I think they lost 2 games in a row like 2 or 3 times, and that was it, right? They had no more than back-to-back losses
right. All
year, and we've already talked about we think this year's Celtics team is better. And this is one of those other things, right? If you're going to be that level-up team from last year that I've said that I think can win 70 games – maybe you lose once in a while an overtime game to Indiana, but you don't lose to Charlotte and you don't lose to Atlanta Monday night, right? Like you don't. Those are the games that you win no matter what. If you're going to be that team, and again, I think they're going to repeat as champs either way, but if you're going to be the team that truly levels up and wins 70 games, yeah, okay, maybe the Wednesday loss to Indiana, a team like that once in a while, sure, but not Charlotte, not Atlanta.
Well, if you look back even over the history of those teams that went on these incredible runs, probably Miami is one of those recent ones. Remember, I think they won like 30 in a row at one point or something like that. It was
about the LeBron Heat team.
Yeah, the LeBron
Heat
team.
I think it was at least 20, 25.
It was in the 20s.
It might have been 30.
I think. I think
wasn't it they were challenging the Lakers for longest winning streak ever?
Right.
And the Warriors did that too. That year they started out undefeated.
Right.
They were like challenging that.
This is what I'm saying about this Celtics team. You got 3 guys that were playing international-level competitive basketball into the summer. They played NBA Finals basketball. This early in the season, you should have to be able to say, we need to go ahead and start steamrolling people who are in front of us so that way we can get some of this early season rest. Like, as exciting as watching that Indiana game was, it's like, oh, nah, fellas, everybody's tired. And you're about to go on a back-to-back you're not even going home. Like, you've got a game in a couple of days, and like you said, 2 games in less than 24 hours.
Yeah, and that's another way to accomplish load management, right?
Right.
And a lot of, like, I think Shaq's talked about this, Charles Barkley has too, like, a way to accomplish load management is, if I'm up by 25 in the fourth quarter, Tatum doesn't play the last 8 minutes. Brown doesn't play the last. So then you look at the box score, and it's like, oh, wow, Brown only played 30 minutes. I mean, look at the game they played against Washington, the second game of the year. Jaylen Brown played 30 minutes total. The rest of the starters played less than 30. Like, and they blew him out. Like, that's another way to accomplish load management without having to totally sit guys out.
Yeah, coming to the end of the first quarter here, Celtics up 37-25 with the last shot from Tatum. Miss 37-25. He got fouled. So, yeah, it's one of those situations where you have to say, like, even I'm looking at the audience crowd size at this game for the Hornets. It's not packed. And so you would ever say, look, even their own people don't believe in their team, and you're the world champions. Usually when the world champion comes to town, it brings out everybody. You get to see them. Even if you're a transplant, think about how many people we know that left Massachusetts and live in North Carolina. But let's rock the Celtics gear at the game. It's a much cheaper price to get better seats. You know, I bought a piece of the stadium for the same price of a beer and a hot dog at TD Garden. But these are those games where you have to go in there and say, we have to completely dominate. And look, you're up in the teens after first quarter. That's what you're supposed to do. And we'll see how things go along. Do you think Tatum and Brown have probably have this Golden State game next week really circled in their mind.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think if they had their way, they would each score 50 in that game, and they would win the game by like 70 points.
Well,
I'm not saying that's going
to
happen, but
that would be one of those games
where
you have to score at least 150 because you still have other guys. But
yeah,
I think
you
if
win
there's
150
a chance,
to 75. Yeah,
I think if they both, I think one goes for 40 and the other goes for like low 30s.
Yeah, but like 30 and 11, and then someone like Brown scores 40 and Tatum has like a 30 point double double or something.
Yes. Who do you think is more motivated between the two to show Steve Kerr what they've
done? I think it's
on?
Brown because like
I think
at
it's
least
Tatum.
At least Tatum was on the team and got a gold medal. Like Brown was left. Brown won Finals MVP, Eastern Conference Finals MVP, and we looked it up over the summer. What's there like two other people ever to do that? And he got left off the team completely.
Here's
why I think he's going to be more. They both are, but I think he's more so.
Here's why I think it's Tatum. He was on the team and was told before games that he wasn't going to be playing. Like, you go tell Jason Tatum before a game, not as a game develops, before games, I won't be able to get you in. Like, at least with the Jaylen Brown thing, it was other pieces besides Steve Kerr in the mix potentially, right?
Sure.
It was USA basketball and so forth and everything. It's very hard for me to speak against Grant Hill. That's my guy. But he was part of that mix of things. Where with Tatum, like, you're Jason Tatum. You're an NBA Finals champion. You're being told, like, yeah, we won't be able to get you into the game today.
Sorry,
like,
JT, the matchup against South Sudan doesn't fit your game.
Which, let's
right,
not forget,
exactly.
They almost lost that first game without
they
him.
They did.
Side note.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I think Tatum is, and plus I think it will also fit into the narrative of Tatum push for MVP. I think there are a couple of pieces that MVP voters are going to look at, and they're going to be the storylines. If he drops 40 or even 50 on Steve Kerr, that's going to be part of the storyline. If he ends up being the MVP of the play-in in-season play-in tournament or in-season tournament, that's going to be part of the storyline, right? Because those are going to take away from the SGA and the Doncic. It's going to be like, this is the Jason Tatum. Like, boy, we could have the season of Jason where we could have had masks, you know, but you know, Halloween would be passed by then. Because it is kind of a revenge tour for him to prove that, okay, remember a couple years ago he complained about like his stats to JJ Redick on his podcast, like, you know, I'm like 27-7 and all this and everything. It was like, bro, get off the stats, win a championship. Then all that stuff will fall into place. Well, he's done that. So now it's almost kind of like you have the supporting cast to win another championship and still be the MVP of the league this year. So that's why I think Tatum is going to be the one that's going to be, he's going to be the one trying to feast against Steve Kerr.
And I wondered, like, is there an element of Tatum and Brown that looks at the Warriors and thinks, these guys still look at us as their little brothers? Because if you remember last year, they had that Sunday afternoon game that the Celtics won by like 40.
Right.
And they really, you could tell, and obviously everything went their way that day. It was a great day. But you could tell they wanted to run it up. They wanted to win by as much as possible. Then you get to the summer.
It'd be like that second Bills game after the Bills started to catch up with the Patriots a couple years ago. Remember when they came back to Foxborough? After they had lost that game, yep, where Belichick ran it 30 straight times,
yeah,
that attitude that they had in their chest, I think that's the same attitude at Tatum
and
Brown.
So they have that game. They win a championship, but then it's Steve Kerr's Olympic team that leaves off Jaylen Brown and benches Tatum. Like, right. I wonder if there's an element that they're like, man, we blew them out, we won a championship, and they still look down on us. We want to blow them out by even more this time.
Well, yeah, because the Warriors are Steve Kerr. USA Basketball is a collection of a bunch of different guys. So if you beat him, like, pretty much with his, I don't know, like, with his favorite go-to move, if you will, like, whatever his bag is, you destroy his own personal bag. KJ and Lyons, WEEI, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. We're here till 9. Still to come, we'll talk about Drake May and getting him in the game and clearing protocol for the concussion. That's still to come. But next, it's Just the Jag here on WEEI.
We're back to KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
KJ and Lyons, WEEI, Friday night, hanging out with you. Thank you so much for being here. We're here till 9. And John, the show usually goes by quick when you're together. I was with Fitzy the other night. And I told Fitzy before the show, just trust me, by the time you get off after 2 hours, because I'm thinking like, and John would be here for the full 4 hours, but Fitzy dipped after 2 hours.
I might have to start doing that. Just
I might have to start doing
yeah,
that.
It's not a bad deal.
Right, exactly. In fact, John, I mean,
be in bed by 9.
You know, there I can make a real quick restaurant the kind of a location thing, maybe be there by 10 o'clock, and you can do the show until 10 if you want to. I'm totally kidding.
Yeah, why do we alternate? So on Tuesdays, I'll leave at 8. Wednesdays, you leave at 8.
And still dock the same pay with this company? Yeah, right.
Well, no, I didn't say that. No, Ken,
would.
If you're listening, I did not say that.
I would.
Said the quiet part out loud.
I would. That's what I'm saying. This is an honest show.
I would get paid for the 2 fewer hours.
No.
I'm an honest man.
You asked me to be here for 4, and if I decided to go do something else because John wanted to be here for the remaining 2 hours, I'm still getting paid. You know, call it criminal or whatever you like.
Okay,
robbing,
all right, you called it criminal. All right. I didn't say it. You said it. Yeah.
Hey, do not clip this, Zach. Like, don't clip that yet. So 37937, if you missed any of the show, the Odyssey app is free. Text, type WEEI and go to WEEI at night. You could hear KJ and Lyons show. You could hear Lyons and Shime from last night. You could hear KJ and Fitzy from the other night or half of the show. But he was like, KJ, that went really, really quick. So that was very humorous. So it was, look, I probably shouldn't be telling my partner I enjoyed myself very well for 2 hours, leaving the money on the dresser for somebody else.
No, that's cool. I had a nice night off.
Yeah.
And then last
from
night,
me?
Shime and I just from had an me? Hour and a half show. It was great.
There you go. So, okay. So that I'm not going to ask you out loud. So is it 1.5 hours on the time card or 2?
It is 1.5.
No, I've got to teach you a few things here.
It's the standard minimum. I'm a man of the people, as we've discussed. I'm an honest man.
Yeah, this is a big business.
They're not the people. They're the man.
They're the man, and the man is not going to miss $3.48 for an extra half hour of work.
It's a lot more than I get paid.
Sure, you need a better negotiator. My $7.96 an hour, I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy. $3.7937. Zach, what do you have on the text line?
Had a bunch of Young and the Restless texts, as John said. Watched way too much of it in high school. One texter says they're 43 right now. Another texter said that they've been watching it since 1978.
Damn, since 78. So I haven't been watching it since 78. So they would probably remember when Jill slept with John in the cabin house and... And behind Victor's back or something like that, where Jill, oh no, Jill was married to John Abbott Sr. And I guess had gotten drunk or whatever. This person who's been watching since 78 is not there. Probably not listening. If you are still, thank you. And accidentally slept with the son, Jack, and had tried to hold it from John Abbott, because it was Jabot. That was the name of the cosmetics company. Is it still called Jabot, Zach, if they watch like the cosmetics or fragrance company that's owned by the Abbotts?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, so Jabot is still around. I remember when they first opened the coffee house. Is Cassie now an adult? That would be Victor's son, youngest son's, his daughter. Is Cassie on there still?
That one I actually don't know.
Okay, I don't know if Cassie's still there. Cassie is the daughter of Sharon and I can't remember the other guy's name, but it's the youngest son, Victoria's younger brother. Nicholas, that's it. Nicholas Newman, is he still there?
Yes.
Okay, Nicholas Newman, I remember when he was a baby in the crib because there was kind of like he almost had an infant death syndrome situation going on, and that was kind of like the story, like, yeah, so... Shout out. See, that's what happens. Sometimes when you expand your horizons outside of the jock sniffing that we do on the show, it can be entertaining. All right, where's the jock sniffing stuff? Two more texts before we get to Just a Jag.
All righty, we got two Bruce Cassidy texts. One texter, firing Cassidy was the softest move ever, and then another one says that it's so overlooked and under-talked about.
Yeah, because think about it, John. Do you really want to talk about the guy who pulled the NHL version of Tom Brady?
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. Literally won a Stanley Cup. That year, your cup.
Right. Sure, you can't give me what I want, which is another chance. Fine, I'll take myself to Vegas and win it out there. And at that time, it was kind of harder to come through the West than it would have been through the East.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, that was a tough way because, what was that, the year before Colorado
would
win the
cup? That's the year they beat Florida to win it, right?
Yeah. Because I was thinking, like, the year before that, Colorado had won. Like, Dallas was good. Yeah.
And then,
not to mention, 3 years later, they fired Cassidy because Krejci didn't like him and DeBrusk thought he was too mean. A year later, Krejci retired, and then DeBrusk is gone. Canuck.
You know, it's funny. When they send you to, like, Northwest, like that's like getting you as far out of here. Like, Vancouver, granted, they were in the mix of things last year and so forth. And, well, I guess with some of these they don't stink, but, you know, it's like, maybe that's just me thinking as an American, like, you know, like, damn, it may not be so bad living in Vancouver. It'd be some of the best hydroponics in the world. No kidding. But you know, like these Canadian guys, they're probably like, yeah, what's your guy? He just got, it's gone now. Olmark, right? Like, that sent me to Ottawa. Like,
if by the way, is playing better than the Bruins right now, of course.
Right.
But they missed the playoffs 7 years in a row, and now they're
playing. But if you're an American, are you screaming, yeah, send me to Ottawa? You're like,
that's where I want to go.
That's Ottawa. Exactly. Yeah. Well, the beer is probably better, crisper. All right, still to come, the World Series and the Red Sox and Juan Soto. Juan Soto said all 30 teams will be bidding. Will the Red Sox be in the middle of that bid? That's coming in 10 minutes. But right now, it's time for the world-renowned...
I'm sorry that I said you were a Jag.
Just a guy. Oh, he's just a Jag. Not great, not bad. Don't just stand out on the field. Oh, he's just a Jag. Not great, not bad.
Cut him!
Just a guy out on the field.
All right, this is kind of like a futures market where are we looking at a potential Jag performance based on what the player can do across various games this weekend in the NFL Week 9? Let's go to the Commanders-Giants game and go strictly to Daniel Jones. Jag performance?
Below a Jag. He's not good, and he's going to continue to be not good.
Okay, you did put an E between the B and the L, right? The B and the L, because I was like, did he say below a Jag? Blow a Jag. There we go. Blow a Jag. He's just a Jag.
Just a guy.
All right, there's nobody else that would be Jag material in that game, what do you think? Like, even Brian Daboll, you kind of feel for the guy at this point.
Yeah, I feel bad for him.
Hey, brother, I will light a candle for you in prayer tomorrow night. Let's go to Dolphins-Bills. Tua Tagovailoa.
I go Jag here. I mean, I think he kind of is a Jag anyway. Coming back, he's going to continue to be one.
Yeah, just the Bills are going to make it tough for him, just a Jag as well. What about the Arcan? Achan and Mostert do it. Do you think they are able to get it done on the road against the Bills and on the ground game?
I actually think they are a little bit above a Jag. Mostert had a pretty good game, and Achan obviously with his speed, I think they can be a little bit better than Jags.
I think the Bills turn it up, and I think it becomes ugly all sides. I think that duo, they end up looking like a Jag.
Just a guy.
Chargers Browns. Oh, no weapon against me shall prosper. Jameis Winston.
Yeah, would it be bad if I called this game a Jag off? No, just kidding. Jameis Winston, to me, a little bit above a Jag in this game. Chargers, I have a lot of faith in Jim Harbaugh, but they've been inconsistent this year.
I'm going to say Jameis Winston is going to be above a Jag because he's got Jesus and God on his side, so that's his Jag right there. I think Jameis Winston performs well again this week. Patriots Titans. Ramondre Stevenson.
I think he's just a Jag this weekend. I think they're actually going to throw the ball better than people think in this game.
Just a guy.
I hate to do it. I haven't seen anything, especially in games where the run game was needed. Now the run game could be actually well-produced, and like you said, this is a chance to kind of open some things up because the quarterback's been able to do it. Sorry, hate to do it to you, Mondre, but Jag material.
Just a guy.
Cowboys-Falcons, this is going to be such an interesting game. Micah Parsons, Jag performance?
I think he's above a Jag. I mean, I think he's that good, and he's just on a team that's kind of floundering, but he's that good.
In this game, I don't know if Parsons will be able to make a difference. I believe it may be a bit of a Jag performance because the Cowboys are a mess right now.
Just a guy.
Trayvon Diggs just told a reporter to get D's nuts in Dallas. Do you see a Jag performance Sunday?
I have to correct myself, by the way. Micah Parsons looks like he's out for this game. So,
there it is, Jag.
I think Trayvon Diggs is a Jag, too. That was weird little beef with the media. I don't know. I'm just, something's off there with him.
Just a guy.
Yeah, so, you said, yeah, they're so distracted. And I think the Falcons are going to be able to light up the skies. With Kirk Cousins, we'll get to him shortly. So I don't think that, once again, Dallas's defense will not get it done. Dak Prescott.
That one's an interesting one, right, Dak? Because I didn't think he was great against the 49ers, but yeah. I think he's not being coached well. But this Atlanta team, I mean, they gave up 30 points to Tampa a few weeks ago, 26 points to Tampa again last week. I think he goes a little bit above a Jag.
I totally agree. I think if this is going to be an open game, I think Dak is going to have the numbers. CeeDee Lamb is going to be able to contribute. So I don't think that's going to be as much of the conversation as much as it might be, oh my gosh, you know, they lose in a shootout to the Falcons, which leads us to Kirk Cousins. This week, Jag or not a Jag?
Above a Jag, because yeah. I mentioned Micah Parsons is out, and I said Trayvon Diggs was going to be a Jag, so by default, Kirk Cousins would probably play above one.
Yeah, I agree as well. Broncos, Ravens, Bo Nix, what are you looking at?
Below a Jag. I think that Ravens defense is going to be all over him.
Just they got.
I'm kind of torn here, because when you think the Ravens could dominate a situation, sometimes they don't. I think he won't be. I think he'll be above a Jag. Not because he's going to do anything great, but because he won't make mistakes. How about Zay Flowers for the Ravens?
So Jag, I'm going to go Jag there because he's a good player, but Pat Surtain, I mean, that dude's awesome. And I think Zay Flowers is going to have a little bit of trouble getting open.
Just they got.
I totally agree, and you're right, hitting right on the head. Zay Flowers is walking right into the strength of what Denver can do, which is pass defense, which leads me to the next guy, Derrick Henry.
I'm going to put him above a Jag until he proves me otherwise. I think he honestly is one of the top five players in the NFL right now. That's how he is.
In a couple weeks ago, he was kind of stifled in the run game where he kind of had a little bit of a Jag performance. But again, because the passing game is what Denver's better at stopping, I don't know if they have an answer for Denver Derrick Henry, so I totally agree. Not a Jag this weekend. Bears-Cardinals. And literally, your showdown of the
duty has now been out for over a week, so I think his play is going to start to go down, and he's going to be a Jag.
Just forgot.
We get Kyle.
That's a cheap shot.
You're not the only one I hear use it.
They put in his contract.
Well, the other part of it, though, is, so if you can put it in and they say yes, it's not your fault. I'm going to go above a Jag for Kyler Murray. What's going on with the Bears' defense? They're going to be overly, overly sensitive, especially what happened last week with that Commanders game. So while everybody may be on their P's and Q's, the quality may not be there, which leads to the question, will Caleb Williams be a Jag?
I think he's going to be above a Jag. And I don't have a lot of faith in this Cardinals team or defense.
Yeah, I think he's going to produce a Jag performance. While the last good performance you saw from him, I think you would have to say, was when he was... it wasn't bad against the Commanders. They had to come back to drive down the field. But Eberflus is now a coach that is on the skids. And you just had DJ Moore come out and speak to the public and got reprimanded a bit from the team. So if it's one of your star receivers doing it, that's a problem. Will it affect the quarterback? I think it does. I think Caleb Williams gets a Jag performance this week.
Just they got.
Lions-Packers, showdown weekend of Sunday, Jared Goff. Jag performance, or does he keep it hot?
Above a Jag. I think he continues to play well.
Yeah, I totally agree. Jared Goff he's almost becoming like a cheat code in terms of like his efficiency. Jordan Love.
I think he's a little bit below a Jag in this game. I think that Lions defense, I know there's no Aiden Hutchinson anymore, but I think they're going to be able to get after him, and he's going to have some trouble.
I would do a push there, only because Detroit's defense... They're still trying to figure out what's going on with their pass rush with Aiden Hutchinson gone for the season. This might be the game where they try to, because the pass rush may not get to Jordan Love, may be the reason why they may go after Myles Garrett next week. So I'm going to say Jordan Love will be above a Jag, leading for Detroit trying to make a big splash next week. What about the Montgomery-Gibbs duo, the running duo for the Lions?
I think they have a big game and they're above a Jag.
I totally agree.
It's funny, Detroit, it's week 9. You know, this is the first game they've played outside all year.
Wow.
Week 9. But they're a rare dome team built to also play outside, and these two guys are part of it.
Yeah, and it just snowed up there in Green Bay. So, Colts-Vikings Sunday night, Joe Flacco going up against Flores's stingent defense.
Yeah,
what do you see?
I think he's below a Jag because you hit the nail on the head. It's Flores' defense, and they've had 10 days to prepare coming off that frustrating loss to the Rams last Thursday night.
Yeah.
I think they come out and play really well and give the Colts a lot of problems.
Yeah, I'm thinking Joe Flacco's a Jag in this game, and this might be the reason why Richardson has been pulled out, because this is going to be a national game, and I don't think they want to have that guy in a national game stinking it up. and Flores embarrassing that guy. I think Flores was ready to have something for him. That's why I was quick to defend him on what happened on that play. Sam Darnold for the Vikings.
I think he's above a Jag in this one. I think they play pretty well and they win.
Yeah, I agree as well. And for the Monday night game, Bucks Chiefs, Baker Mayfield.
I say below a Jag. That Chiefs defense has been great against pretty much everybody they've played, and I think they're going to give the Bucks problems too. And now no Godwin, no Mike Evans.
Right.
Just a guy.
Yeah, Baker, the fun was fun while it lasted, but I think the ride ends just a guy against the Chiefs defense is really going to look to eat against you and not have to worry about the passing game.
Just a guy.
And the final one. Josh Uche for the Chiefs.
I say just a guy, Jag, because I don't think he's going to play that much. I think he's only going to play 10 or 12 snaps, kind of rotate in.
Just a guy.
I'm going to say above a Jag because he may be able to get half a sack, which would be probably five times more than what we've seen from him at least the last couple of years. And that's just a guy here on WEEI. KJ and Lions continues next. What are the Red Sox going to do in the Juan Soto sweepstakes? Thanks for hanging out.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.